I tell you, we need to pray for our folks down south in Louisiana. I tell you, they really got hit again, and I have a heart for that little town of Lake Charles. It's not really a little place. It's a pretty large place, and I lived there for about a year and helped out down there during Hurricane Katrina, and now they're dealing with it again, and I tell you, there's some great people down there, and one of our we have a Nazarene church right there in Lake Charles, and I attended that church when I was down there, and there's some good people there, and they actually Sister McCord and Tracy that were here, they were district superintendents on that district, and they had been to Lake Charles Church and ministered there several times, and in Pineville and the other Nazarene churches around the area there, and some of the older folks that were there when I was there in 2005 knew them and remembered them, and so it was like being with family, you know, when I was down there. And so, but I pray for them down there dealing with what they have to deal with. It's just a mess. If you've never seen anything like that, I tell you, it will break your heart. I'd never in my life experienced anything like that before, and it just really, really tragic, you know. And so people just lost everything, and you have battles with insurance companies and stuff like that where they won't pay, and just a lot of struggle that they go through, just terrible. And so remember them in the prayers. We got Leonard. He's on Zoom this morning. I chatted with him just a minute ago. He says he's still feeling not so good, but we want to continue to lift him up in prayer that God just takes this from him and heals him, and he can get back to being with us again soon. And so we pray for him and his family, pray for Michelle. And John Reeves, also remember him in prayer. He is, he is up in Sparta today. Is that right, Jason? Tomorrow he's going to Sparta. His brother passed away, and so he's going to be with him tomorrow. And so let's remember John and his family. I'm looking here. Man, I tell you, I'm excited about being here. I want to say, let's see, it'll be in your bulletin, and I know some of you missed our time change, but be reminded that next week church will be at the same time at 10:30. It's supposed to start really getting cooler, and as it's getting cooler, you know, we decided that we'd move the time. As long as we're able, we'll have church outside. But if it's cold, raining, because it's going to get there, we're going to be moving inside and having church inside. But it'll still be at the same time. And then remember, we have our Sunday school for children in at 9:45, I believe, 9:40. And let's see, am I missing anything? Children's Bible quizzings on Wednesday nights at 6:30. Let's see. There again. We have our Christmas boxes out here. If you want to take a box, we have more. Verna's going to get more. And so we do that every year. So we're going to continue to do that ministry. If you can fill a shoebox for Christmas. I don't know what the time turn-in is on that. I don't know if it says, but November
16th through the 23rd. I think.
November 16th through the 23rd. Okay, we're still doing our grocery giveaway on October 31st. That'd be that morning. And then that evening, we're going to do trunk or treat. And so that'll be from 5 to 7. So if you guys want to decorate your trunks and give out candy, we're going to do it, a lot different than we normally do. Okay, Verna just said she needed the boxes back by the 15th. So the 15th of November. Excited about that. October trunk or treat. We will be following guidelines. We'll be wearing masks, but we're not going to have anybody inside. like we normally do. It'll just be drive through the parking lot, but we will decorate our trunks and hand out candy. So that's kind of exciting. Verna has in here, our sympathy is extended to John Reeves and family in the loss of his brother, Michael Reeves of Monticello, Arkansas. Graveside service will be held in Sparta, Illinois on Tuesday, October the 13th. So just be with them. Happy birthday to Baron Talent. And happy anniversary to Mark and Lottie Smith. Yay. Amen. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. That's the 11th. Yeah. And then on the 16th, it'll be a happy anniversary to Richard and Yvonne. So, and they're here this morning. So happy anniversary to you guys. And 60 years. Wow. That's double my marriage. Lee and I celebrated 30. They're up to, man. Well, again, I don't know if I've missed anything. I hope not. Have I missed anything? All right.
What?
What?
Betty. Oh, Miss Betty. Yeah. Be in prayer for Miss Betty. She called Marva a couple times yesterday, last night, and she's got some shoulder pain and hurting in her arm and different things going on, and she's just, I think emotionally too, she's a little down in the dump. So I know we need to plan a drive-in, drive-through, say hello, drive-by at where she's at, and we need to do that for her. And so we just need to give her a call, support her, pray for her, you know. And so she would love to be here if she could. And so, but we love Miss Betty. She's done a lot for our church. She's done a lot for me in my life. And I really, if I was to pinpoint one individual who impacted my life that would put me in a place where I'm at today, it would be Miss Betty. And and I know I'm not alone in that. So just remember her. And so, again, I'm so happy that everyone's here this morning, and we're just going to worship the Lord. And
92.1.
Yeah, 92.1. If you want to turn your radios on, 92.1. Some of you already have it up, but all right.
Oh,
good song. Everything leads to the cross. Amen. It's all about the cross.
my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious tool. Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. My cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this beautiful day to we come and worship you. Lord, that's why we're here. Lord, it's just not about coming here. It's about worshiping you and honoring you and glorifying you for the things that you've done for us, a blessing. Lord, you took our sins away. You died for us, Lord. So, Lord, we want to honor you. We want to honor you with our holy presence.
Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. I think the girls have a song for us this morning. Amen. It's always good when the girls have a song. Amen. Amen.
Your heart as you are.
your burdens. Lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face.
Such a good song. Such a good song. Man, we can always come to Him and lay our burdens down. He says, cast your burdens on me. He'll take them. Amen. We worry about so much stuff that we go through in life. We worry about it. But yet Jesus is saying, just cast your burdens on me. And I'll take care of you. You don't have to worry about it. So good morning again. I tell you, it's so good to be here. I tell you, it's such a beautiful day. And I get to be with my church family and get to honor and glorify my Savior. Amen. I can't get enough of it. I want to be here. I mean, I'd be here every day of the week doing this right here if I could. I mean, that's how I feel about it. I want to be here every day. I just love being able to come together in one accord, unified as a church body, praising the Lord. Amen. And I know if we honor Him, He honors us. You know, if we draw near to Him, He will draw near to us. As the Scripture says. Well, I tell you, if you have your Bibles this morning, we'll be talking out of the book of Colossians. We'll be reading out of the book of Colossians chapter 3. And I'll give you a moment. And if you have your Bibles in your hands, I want you to think, I heard this and I wanted to share it with you because I thought, man, that is so good. I want to say that every day. Every time I grab my Bible, I want to say this. It said, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says. I can do what it says I can do. I'm going to learn how to be what it says I can be. Today I will learn more of the Word of God, the indestructible, never-ending, living Word of God. I will never be the same. Listen, I will never be the same. That's how powerful the Word of God is. Every time I read it, my life changes. Every time I read it, I get something that inspires me. I will never be the same because of the Scripture. This indestructible, never-ending, living Word of God. From the foundations of the Word, or from the world, this has never changed. Amen. You know, so if you have your Bibles this morning, you want to turn with me to Colossians. A little bit of breeze out here this morning, so I got to fight with the wind. That's all right. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. I'm going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word, Lord. Just let us set aside anything that may hinder our minds from focusing on your word. Lord, remove anything that may hinder our hearts from being warmed and filled. Lord, I just praise you. I thank you. Let us leave here better than we came because we've heard your word. I praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things of above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, or barbarian or Scythian, or slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Amen. Amen. Christ is all and in all. And we sang that song, All in All. You are my strength. You are my all in all. Amen? As Christ, is Christ your all in all? You know, Christ is all there is to life. It is to me. Christ is my all in all. And Paul said to the church in Philippians, he said, it is no trouble for me to say these things again to you. To write to these things. It's right here in Philippians chapter 3. He said, further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. And I know I preached on Colossians before, so it doesn't bother me to say these things again, but in a little different way, maybe. Because that's the way God reveals things to us, right? I've read Scripture, and I've shared this before. I've read that same Scripture over and over and over and over again, but sometimes it seems like God just hits you again, and you're like, man, I've read that before, but man, it just reaches out and grabs you. And that all in all just really reached out and grabbed me, and I wanted to share this again. When you find, that's the question I want to ask. What is Jesus Christ to you? Who is he? What is he to you? You know, some people may answer, Jesus has a place in my life. Jesus does not want just a place in your life. He doesn't want just a place in your life. Jesus desires and deserves and demands to be first in your life. Just like when two people come together in marriage, and I just performed a marriage ceremony a couple weeks ago for a friend of mine. And when two people come together, they come together and become one. Not two, but one. That's what the Scripture says. When two are joined together, they become one flesh. Together. It can't be one part and two parts. It has to be one together. And that's like our relationship with Jesus Christ. When we become a Christian, when we come to the Father, we become one with Him. We become united with Him. How does Jesus get to be first in your life? I can ask you that question. If He's not first in your life, how do you get Him first in your life? I've asked myself that same question over and over again because that's what I want. I want to be always putting Jesus first in my life. The scripture here in Colossians chapter 3, verse 11 says, "Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcision, uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ is all and in all." He's in all of us. It doesn't matter what you look like, where you came from, what you did. It doesn't matter about that, because if you're saved, Christ is in you. And He's in all of us, all in all. And so today I want to talk to you about this, when Christ is all in your life. Verse 11 there at the end, it says, "Christ is all in all." Period. That's the way it is. Not like a glass that is half full or almost full, but full. Right? You're either full of Christ or you're not. Right? There's no half glass of Christ. If Christ is all, then that leaves nothing out. It means that He is everything. Amen. He's everything. You know, that's the big question that I have here this morning is Jesus, is He all to you? And I mean, is He all and in all every part of you? You know, Paul just said in another way in verse 4 there, when he says Christ is our life. Is Christ your life? Jesus doesn't give life. He is our life. Amen? He is our life. And for me to live is what Paul said. For me to live is Christ. Philippians 1:21 says this. Is what Paul said is another place. He is our life. He doesn't just point to life, which He does, but He is our life. And he said also in John 14:6, he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Who is life? Whose life? Your life. My life. Is He all in your life today? You know, I know a lot of people, you know, and you do too. I know people that are lawyers and pastors and football players, and then I know some people that are pastors, lawyer, and a football player, all the same. But I know farmers and race car drivers and all kinds of people, police officers. I mean, I could just keep naming all the people that I know. I know all these people, but then I don't know them. I really don't. I know who they are, and you probably know a lot of people too. You know, it's kind of like being on Facebook. You have a lot of friends on Facebook, right? Some people got like 5,000 friends on Facebook. You quote something or you put something on there goofy, like, you know, put your face on a celebrity's body and say dumb things. I'm not pointing out anybody, but... And you get like 5,000 likes on it, you know, but then you post something about Jesus is my all in all in my life, and you get like 20 likes. Amen? Really? I don't know. I'll get off that. We can have a lot of good fun. But do we know who they really are, who people really are? And, you know, we can have knowledge about someone without knowing that person. And you can have knowledge about senators and movie stars and president-elects and politicians running for office, but we really don't know who they are. You really don't know who they are. But you see, we don't just receive knowledge of Jesus in our life. We just don't receive that. Our life is knowing Jesus. Amen? It's not just... It goes deeper than just knowledge. It's part of our life. It's in us. It's all in us. Jesus lives within you. He becomes a part of you. So He's all of your life and in all of your life. You see, we don't just receive knowledge of Jesus in our life. It's that knowing. And in John 17:3, He says, "This is life eternal, that they may know the only true God and Jesus Christ who have sent." It is Jesus only. He is all in all, and it is not knowledge about Jesus. You can read your Bible all you want. It's not about the knowledge that comes from the pages. It is not Jesus plus anything. It's not something after Jesus. It's Jesus in your life. It's Christ. And you can get to know Jesus better. And I'm telling you this morning, you can't know anything better than Jesus. There's nothing better than knowing and having a relationship with Jesus Christ and having Him work in your life. You can go deeper into Jesus, but you can never go beyond Jesus. You can never get enough of Him. Paul says in verse 11 there that Christ is all and in all. I love it. How does that work, making Christ all in all? First, we've been crucified with Christ. First, we've been crucified with Christ. We have been crucified with Him. In verse 3, it says, "For you are dead." Did you know you're looking at me today? I'm a dead man walking. I'm a dead man preaching right here because I died in Christ. I've been crucified. So I died with Christ, and His death, it had my name on it. And the old Randy has passed away when I accepted Christ into my life 27 years ago when I knelt at an altar right up here in this church, right up here, and I gave my life to Christ. I was crucified. I died to the old man. And then again, it's like Paul said, I die every day. I have to die every day. I have to be crucified with Him every day. I've died over 5,000 times. Amen. 27 years. 365 days a year. I've died a lot. Amen. Because I have to. I have to. Because I live in such a sinful world and the flesh fights against that. Right? You know, that day I got saved was my funeral service. Amen. That was my funeral service. And the biggest mourner who was there was the devil. And he hated to see his old buddy die. Amen. Amen. Come on. He's not going to bring me back to life. Only Jesus can bring life. Amen. We've been raised with Christ. That's the second. We've been raised with Christ. First, we've been crucified with Him, and now we've been raised with Christ because He brings life to what was dead. Amen. So not only did He die when He was crucified, but He also rose again. Amen. He was resurrected, and not only are we dead, but according to this passage of Scripture here, we also have been raised. So you have been raised from the dead. Look, you know that in verse 1, it says, "If you have been raised with Christ, seek what is above." Have you been raised with Christ today? Amen. Where is Christ? He's seated at the right hand of God. That's where He's at. And we died with Him, and we are risen with Him. The third thing is we live with Christ in us. Amen. We live with Christ in us. Amen. We need to act like we live with Christ in us. That's what He's saying. We need to live like that. We gave up all that. That's who we used to be. That's what he was saying. We used to be those people, but we're not that anymore because Christ lives within us, and he is in us all in all. Christ is all and in all. You know, when we get upset and angry, I didn't say we might, I said when we do, because we do at times with something or someone. Sometimes things happen in our lives and we sometimes want to go crazy and flip out, start screaming and shouting and cussing and going that direction. That's the old self, right? But that's not the Christ that lives within us. When you get saved, it changes your outlook on things, because those things that you used to do are former things that you used to do, because when you die to Christ, when you let Him be all in all of you, then your attitude changes. And when you feel those urges that you want to go back that other direction, you realize that Christ is saying, no, that's not who I am, and that's not who you are, because you're dead to those things. It changes your outlook on life, and you'll never hear me use profanity when somebody does me wrong. And it doesn't mean that I don't get upset or even angry. It just means that Christ is in me and controls me. It's not the old Randy. It's not the Randy that would be. It's the Randy that Christ wants me to be. It's not that I don't get aggravated, and we all get angry at things. But that was the old man. God gets angry. In the days before the flood, He got angry with the world, so angry that He said, He regretted that making everything. He just regretted ever creating it. And then He found Noah, one man. He said, hey, Noah, I'm in you, right? And you're in me. And through one man, because Christ, because God was in, he loved God, and He honored God, and because of that one man, the whole world was saved. And because He was in Christ, and because He loved God, His whole family was saved too. He was in such a wicked world that there was only one man found righteous, and that was Him. God searched the whole world and found one man righteous. That's pretty bad, isn't it? But it seems like the world in its wickedness didn't affect Noah, because he still followed God. Christ is all in all. You know, what happens in our life is what is necessary and true when I say that Christ is my life, and I say that Christ is all in all. You know, what we seek, you know, Jesus captivates our ambitions, doesn't He? If you let Him, He captivates your ambitions, and what we seek in life is what our ambition is. And is your ambition this morning to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Is that your ambition? The devil doesn't care what on earth you may seek, as long as you do not seek the things from above. That's what Paul's saying, seek the things of above, not the things of this world. Because we are risen with Christ. Seek those things which are above. Now, some of the things that seems like we're prone to seek are things of this world, things that we have to satisfy us and are imagined imagination of what makes happiness, and we want to have the right kind of clothes, and we want to have the nicest homes, and we want to have nice cars and fine jewelry and the things of this world and the finest churches and the best religion. But that's not really of Christ. You know, over the last 20 plus years that I have been saved and sharing the word, I've been amazed at two things. Number one, that men will not believe the truth right away. And number two, what people really do believe in. It amazes me on what people really do believe. People will believe almost anything, especially if it's on ABC, CBS, or NBC. They believe it whether it's true or not. They don't care because it was said on TV. It just, they believe it, right? But yet, they have trouble in believing in the Word of God. Satan is not against religion as long as it's the religions of this world. It doesn't affect him any. But we're not talking about religion. We're talking about a relationship. What we need to do is grow closer to God, and that's what we all need to do. What we need to do is to grow in the grace of the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what it says in 2 Peter 3:18. You know, Christianity is not just a legal relationship. It's a love relationship. Amen. It's what it's all about. It's a love relationship that we have with Christ that was so loving and compassionate that even though He didn't want to die, but yet He did die because He loved us so much. It's a relationship with one who loves us more than we will ever know while we live in this life here on this earth. The things that we do also should revolve around whether it is worship of God or not. Everything that we do should revolve around our relationship with Christ. You can read your Bible with a will to worship. That's part of our worship, is reading. You know, do you ever get an idea that you're going to read so many chapters of the Bible each day? You ever get that idea that that's what I'm going to do? I'm going to start reading, and I'm going to read 3 chapters a day, and I'm going to do that. I know you do. It'll make you a better Christian. It really will. Or will it? Not necessarily, unless you believe in it. If you believe that Christ is all and in all, when you read the Scripture, when you read the Word, it'll mean a whole lot more to you. I'm not saying that you can't read without understanding or not loving God, but there's a difference between knowledge of the Scripture and the love relationship in your heart with Christ. The reasons of the world, the rituals of the world, and the religions of the world can make you and me not like Jesus. That's for sure. This morning, I just want to continue to say that we need to make Christ our all in all. In all, in everything that we do. We are to seek Jesus. Jesus captivates our ambitions. We are to seek Him in all the things that we do. We are to seek Him like a butterfly goes from flower to flower. Never stops. We're to seek Him when we're frustrated and aggravated and upset and all the other things in life that come our way to ruin our days. We are to seek Him and thank Him and talk to Him and praise Him as much as we can. We are to read the Word as much as we can and get to know more of what God wants us to do, and His love for us is revealed through His Word. So important. Jesus is always, He captivates my attention, but when I spend more time with Him, He dominates my attention. Amen. He takes over. I can block out the horrible things that are happening in this world easier when in Colossians 3:2 says this, set your affections on the things above and not on the earth. All the negative and all the junk that goes on in this world, if you get caught up in that, it'll just drag you down. But when you start reading the Word and you start letting Jesus be the center of your life, and when you start being captivated by His Word, then it makes all that stuff go away. Because you realize it doesn't mean anything. Because, you know, we're only here for a temporary time. We're but a vapor, but a mist. And then our life is over. But those who are risen with Christ, those who are resurrected with Christ, we know that one day, we know that when that day comes, we're going to be in heaven with Him for eternity. We're going to be in the biggest worship and praise team ever. Standing around the throne, worshiping and praising Him. Because that's what it's all about. Glorifying Him. Our Creator, the One who saves, the One who sanctifies, the One who made everything around us that we see or allowed it to be made. Is He captivating your life, your ambitions? Is He in every part of your life? Is He with you when you go to work? Is He with you when you go to Walmart? Is He with you when you sit and drive through too long? Huh? Is He with you when somebody cuts you off in traffic or tears your car up in an accident? Is He with you? Is He with you when somebody cusses you out? Is He with you? Is He with you when you go to bed at night? Is He all in your life? I don't know about you, but I'm going to continue to put Jesus as the most important priority in my life so that I can become more like Him and walk with Him every day. If Christ is in my life, then I am to live like Christ, and He is my all in all. Amen. If Christ is in my life, then I am to live like Christ is in my life. Come on. Church, that's what we have to do. If we want to see people saved, if we want to see people sanctified, if we want to see lives changed in our community, then we have to be a people that shows that Christ lives within us. We have to be a people that act like Christ lives in us, and it's not an act. It's a fact. Amen. What is the Christian life? What is this Christian life? It's Christ in all and in all of us in every aspect of our life. It's not just the church. You can come to church all you want. You can go through the motions. It has nothing to do with coming to this place right here, sitting in this parking lot. It has nothing to do with being inside that building. It has nothing to do with having Christ in your life. It's spending more time with Jesus and putting our past in the past and becoming more focused on Him in this world we live in. That's what it's about. Now don't take it wrong, because I love to be with my church family. I love being able to gather here, whether it's out in the parking lot or inside the sanctuary. I don't care, as long as I get to be with my church family. I don't care where it's at. I don't care if it's in somebody's home. And I remember reading in the book of Acts when the church got scattered because of so much persecution that was coming on them that they couldn't meet where they normally met. And so they were scattered. But you know what? It didn't stop them. They just kept meeting together in their homes and in basements and wherever they could possibly meet. And Jesus, you know, when Jesus was on the earth, where did He preach most of all? In the wilderness. He went wherever He needed to go, whether it was a synagogue or out in the wilderness or on a boat or by the seashore or on the mountaintop, wherever He had to go, and people followed Him. Hey man, come on now. I want to spend more time with Jesus. I want to put all that stuff behind me, the past, all that junk that Satan wants to remind you of. Jesus took it. He took it. He took all that condemnation, all that you deserved, all that wrongdoing, and that you deserved death over, and He took it and He wiped it clean. And when we stand before the Father, He will not even see it. He won't even remember. He'll never know that it was done, because Jesus Christ, He is your all in all. Amen. Just let Him be in your life today. Let Him be all in all in your life today. Amen. Let Him be all in all in your life today. In everything that you do. Everyone you meet. Show the love of Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank You again, Lord, for all the mercy and the grace. Lord, I thank You for Your blessings. Lord, I thank You for Your healing, because I believe You're going to heal Leonard. I believe You're going to be with John. I believe You're going to heal the sick in this church, and I believe that. Why? Because You live in us. Lord, I just pray for this church, that we continue to move forward, that we continue to be strong in the faith, that we continue to live for You, and that You live in us, and You are all in us. And just because we're dealing with all this mask-wearing stuff that we have to deal with, Lord, we know that we can still serve You, we can still praise You, we can still move on and go forward and grow Your kingdom. So Lord, I pray, send Your Holy Spirit, anoint each and every person that's here this morning. Lord, let Your Holy Spirit fall here. Sanctify hearts. Give us pure hearts. Lord, I praise You again. I thank You. Lord, continue to strengthen us in the days to come. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank You again. Amen. Thank You again. I think I'm still on here. Amen. Such a beautiful day. Enjoy your Sunday. Enjoy your Sabbath day. God is so good. Just thank Him for it and everything that You do. Amen. 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 I'll see you next week. If it's a beautiful day, we'll have it outside. Remember that if it's going to be nasty and cold, we're probably going to go inside. So I understand if you feel uncomfortable with that, but we're going to do our best to stay socially distanced and sit with our own families and wear a mask.